you know, it's interesting that you say that. When it comes to one of the things you mentioned was sometimes people feel worse when they start to detoxify. And so I know that you've received a lot of emails at Body Ecology saying things like, boy, I started the diet or I started taking fermented foods and suddenly I'm not feeling very well. And if they don't know the difference between an illness and detoxification, they might give up. So what would help, what are some of the signs of cleansing versus signs of an illness?
Well, that could be a little tricky because, you know, our immune systems are so weak today for a number of reasons, including the fact that we're so toxic. But because we have weak immune systems and our blood is toxic and therefore acidic, we are walking magnets to attract pathogens. Like, we attract yeast and viruses and parasites right to us. And so, and again, that's another benefit. You clean up your body and you won't be so delicious to these toxins. And
so, Donna, you mentioned that sometimes people feel worse when they start detoxifying. And if they don't know that, that this is just the sort of the beginning part of detoxification, they might give up. So how can people tell the difference between signs of cleansing and signs of an illness?
Well, you might have attracted a virus or a bacterial infection or a yeast infection to you, because the more toxic we are, the more, when we're toxic, our blood is acidic, and the environment of the blood when it's slightly acidic is just a magnet for these pathogens to dine on us, you might say. So yes, you might, we are more likely to become infected today with pathogens, particularly with the weak immune systems that we have today. But if you have started on a path of wellness, if you changed your diet and you've begun doing things that increase energy in your body, you can be absolutely certain that the body is going to joyfully begin to push toxins out of every single cell, that every cell that gets a chance is going to get rid of those toxins, because if it doesn't, it will die. So toxins will come out if the body if you've opened those detoxification pathways and if there's energy to push those toxins out. So there are all kinds of signs of cleansing, and we can talk about those too. But if you start on a healthy path and suddenly you've got a rash on your skin, or you've got dots in front of your eyes, your knees are popping and they weren't popping before, if springtime comes and it's that time of the year, because that's a natural time when your body goes into a cleanse. Again, in the fall, our body's going into a natural cleanse and really actively push out toxins at those two times. If it's first check and see if that's what it is. Am I cleansing? And then, of course, as we go along, we're going to give you tools for what to do when your body starts to go into a cleanse. But if it doesn't go away, then you need to go see a doctor and you need to get a diagnosis. And you want to see a doctor who's totally mindful of the detoxification process. And we have a lot of wonderful doctors today that have gone more holistic. I'm a really big fan of the doctors who belong to Defeat Autism Now, because they understand that because of the children, the autistic children being so toxic, they're really, really right on top of this problem, and they have a lot of tools as well that they can offer people. But at least go to somebody who's empathetic and sympathetic to the fact that this may not be a virus at all. And, of course, they can test, and they can tell you, you have an infection or you don't have an infection. So most of the time, though, I would say the body's going through a cleansing phenomena, and so don't panic. Don't think, oh, my goodness, I've got this, something's wrong with me, I've got to go out and get another drug, because, again, the drugs are just as toxic as everything else we've talked about.
I think it's important that you say that, because this period of die-off, I remember, if I look back to when I first started eating well on Body Ecology, and one of the symptoms I had was fatigue. And I would say that for about a month I felt fatigued, and it wasn't real fatigue. It was I could still do the things I needed to do, but there was just this feeling of fatigue. But at the same time, other things were getting better. And I think it's interesting that in a detox, you might experience some things don't feel quite as the same, but other things are feeling better. So there's that feeling of something's getting better here. one of the things for me was better digestion. I knew that already was feeling better. So even though I had the fatigue, the fact that I was feeling so much better digestively was a sign that, boy, this must not be an illness. This is just a sign that my body needs to rest and I need to let this detoxification happen.
Mm-hmm. That's a really good point. When they come, and they come sporadically, they usually come when you don't want them to, that you can't make your body cleanse. It cleanses when it wants to, and we don't have control over that. But that's the thing to do, is to rest. It's one of the most important things that you could possibly do. But, you know, it is cyclical, and some people, for example, start on the body ecology diet, and they feel fabulous because they're not putting all these poisons in their body, and then all of a sudden, bang, they wake up and they feel awful. Well, that's because their body got stronger and healthy enough so that it grabbed a bunch of toxins and threw them out into the bloodstream. And if your detoxification pathways are not really open and functioning well, which, again, is something we're definitely going to get into as the course moves along, then you're going to have a backup. Like, the toxins aren't coming out smoothly. There are too many of them that want to come out, and your body can't get them out fast enough. That's when you're going to have that lousy kind of feeling. So an example, some signs of cleansings might be, a lot depends on where the toxins are. And, for example, we are, as I mentioned before, the brain is a very fatty organ. So, of course, toxins are attracted there. And then in our head, you know, we have brain chemicals. They're called neurotransmitters. And so this even affects our whole entire personality. When the brain is out of balance and off kilter, and serotonin and dopamine and these important neurotransmitters aren't balanced and functioning the way they're supposed to, in the brain, we also have three very, very important glands. We've got the hypothalamus and the pineal gland and the pituitary. They get poisoned as well, and those are master glands. They're controlling all the other organs downstream, the thyroid, the adrenal, the ovaries, and so on. And so, you know, so many times we don't even have a clue that I mean, that's not something you're going to see an outward sign like you would a rash. But even fatigue is a very subtle sign of cleansing. People think, oh, I'm so tired. I'm not sleeping very well right now. Well, we don't sleep well if we have toxins in our body. And a lot of people have labeled themselves or have been labeled by a well-meaning doctor that they have chronic fatigue. And to me, a person who thinks they have chronic fatigue is really just a very, very toxic person. And one of the most important things they can do is get the toxins out of their body as quickly as possible, as safely as possible.
So the idea is to stick with it, and you had also mentioned detoxification pathways. Can you talk a little bit about them and some of the reasons why they get stuck?
When we talk about detoxification pathways, we're really talking about the ways toxins leave the body. How do they exit our body? Well, anytime we've got pores or a way that's anywhere where the body's opening up, that's where toxins can come out. So in our eyes, we have little tear glands, and so the tears can be very toxic. And sometimes we have things wrong with our eyes, like spots dancing in front of them and conjunctivitis, pink eye type things. That's just because toxins are coming out. That often happens in the spring, by the way, because the liver rules vision, it rules the eyes, the joints, the skin. So in the spring, you might have joint problems and eye problems and skin rashes and so on that just pop up. As a matter of fact, if you do, that's great. That means you have enough energy to push toxins out. And when we lose that energy to push out toxins, that's when we're on our way out of this world. That's when we're starting to die. So you want to have a body that has the ability to cleanse. Now, the nose, obviously, is an opening into the body, so you'll often have toxins leaving through the mucus in our nose, runny nose. Lots of little babies have runny nose all the time. Like, kind of today, children just have, for the next first 2 years of their life, their nose runs all the time, but their body's trying to get rid of those toxins they've inherited. The lungs, of course. We can cough up all kinds of mucus. If it's yucky, colored-looking, yellow, greenish-type stuff, you're coughing up some pretty serious, even infected material. We vomit, we throw up. There's even a little region in our brain. See, the blood-brain barrier stays mostly closed, but there are little places in our blood-brain barrier that are open all the time, and there's this one little region called the vomitus region, and it's there because if we happen to take in poison, then that immediately gets registered in the vomitus area of our blood-brain barrier, and we react. We start to throw up. Liver sends its toxins out through the bile, and this is a big one. We're going to go a lot more into liver cleansing and, of course, colon cleansing because that's the other biggie. Toxins are supposed to be leaving every day through our colon, in our stool, and, of course, in our urine. And if you have a very foul-smelling stool, that's a sign, or definitely if your urine, if you start cleansing, for example, and you go on a healthy diet, and one day you start to notice that, oh, my gosh, what is that? My urine smells really weird. It's because you probably dumped a whole bunch of poisons. And, you know, so many of the poisons that we were talking about earlier, the pesticides, the heavy metals and so on, they're not visible. You know, if you passed a parasite out in your stool and you saw it, you know, you'd say, wow, there goes something toxic leaving my body. But we don't see mercury leaving our body. When we do colon therapy, for example, you don't see all the drugs that have been packed into your body and congesting your liver and all leaving. And then another really important thing for women to understand is that young women who are still having their monthly cleansing, that is exactly what the so-called quote-unquote period is. It's a monthly cleansing. It just kind of intrigues me that some time ago, when the baby boomers started to be teenagers, they started coming out with these deodorant tampons and deodorant pads. A woman who's clean and healthy doesn't need anything like that. Her monthly, the shedding of the lining of her uterus should be very clean. She's going to grow a baby in it. So that's important to, you know, for a woman to look at. She's going to evaluate how clean her body is. As a matter of fact, it's real interesting, but one of our most cleansing foods on the diet is the young coconut kefir. And when women start to drink young coconut kefir, the blood just becomes very translucent, very clean and pure looking. Now, men too, we can't just talk about women. Men in their sperm, the toxins leave a man's body in his sperm. Where is that sperm going? It's going into unite with an egg and create a baby. So that's one way. Now, why we say women, young women and young men really have to clean up their bodies today before they have a baby. The sexual organ system, the hormones in our body are very, very much affected by the chemicals. So we really have a true, serious threat to the human race right now. And as I said before, we don't see it. We're completely ignorant to what's coming at us all over the world. And one of the reasons for low sperm count and for infertility, it now takes a young woman of childbearing age to about a year and a half to get pregnant. That was unheard of in the baby boomers generation. They didn't have any problem getting pregnant. But the toxins in the body are very much affecting the endocrine system and the ability to reproduce. Like many, many babies might be conceived, but nature won't let that conception actually develop into a fetus and a because it's going to be deformed, and so the woman, she'll have a period. She'll never realize that she basically lost her baby. Sometimes that they're trying so hard to conceive because of the toxins in her body.
Donna, you talked about one of the things you mentioned a couple of times is our brain has a lot of fat in it, so the toxins would be attracted to that.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk about how toxins get stored in weight and just sort of excess weight and how that would affect, the toxic exposure?
Well, toxins can get into our bones, material that we might tend to think is hard, but they're not hard. They're actually very porous. Actually, our teeth are extremely porous. A tooth will have as much as 3 miles of these little tubules in it, and toxins can get in there, and bacteria can get in there and begin to excrete toxins actually inside the tooth. So, fat is one of the favorite places for toxins to go. So think about some of the, even on a slender person, you know, our women, our breast is fat, very fatty tissue. For a man, the prostate and testicles and all, they have a lot of fat in those organs, and so toxins are going to go right there. And our lymph system, after the colon and the liver are getting more and more congested and toxic. The lymph is also getting toxic too. And the lymph, we have a big pool of lymph cells at the top of our, actually at the base of our neck, at the top of our shoulder blades there, and then just below that is breast tissue, fatty breast tissue. So toxins love to get into there and then start to grow a little tumor and develop into, you know, into breast cancer, for example. And then they do the same thing for the prostate too. And then there's a big pool of lymph right at the top of our legs, and that's close to the prostate gland. Basically, one of the things that, we are dealing with too is our bodies are too acidic. And when the body is acidic, like toxins make the body acidic. And when the blood is balanced and slightly alkaline, toxins come out more easily. But as long as the blood stays acidic like it is, toxins are being forced. I mean, the cells are being forced to keep the toxins. So, the toxins are in all the cells everywhere in the body. If you take something like, let's say you have to have surgery for some reason and, you know, they'll give you anesthesia, well, that completely paralyzes the body and stops toxins at a time when, like, I really think it should be a law that every hospital, after somebody's been through surgery and gone under anesthesia, that they put them in a colon therapy machine and open up their digestive tract, their colon, and so on, so the liver can start dumping its toxins. But anesthesia paralyzes us, and then at the very time that you need to start healing and recovering from that operation, we're extremely toxic. People don't realize this, but yeast. If you have yeast growing in your colon, they paralyze the gut wall. Now, one of the things that I have not been able to prove with any kind of research, because it's just too new of an idea, but I do know this. I know that when a baby is growing inside the mother, the first 5 months, the mother's the amniotic fluid, the fluid that surrounds the baby during the pregnancy, that he swallows, for example, that amniotic fluid is created from the mother's own blood. And if she has infections in her body and toxins in her body, then of course the amniotic fluid will have that and the baby will swallow that. And if he's swallowing yeast, that's going to paralyze the gut wall. I truly believe that is one of the reasons why so many children today are born constipated and their detoxification pathways are stuck, because it's literally frozen, that whole detoxification pathway there. I have a feeling at this stage people are thinking, oh my gosh, so bad. But we can't give up, and there are a lot of tools coming. I promise you, there are lots and lots of excellent tools coming for everybody of every age. But one thing to know is that when the body becomes overwhelmed with toxins, it just kind of gives up. And really, that's one of the definitions of why we really get old, why we get sick, why we die, is the body is beginning to just become overwhelmed with toxins, and it just gives up.
You know, Donna, I'm glad you mentioned about the tools, because in next week's class, we're going to be covering all the best ways to detox. And one of the things I wanted to ask you before we wrap up today's call is, it seems like detoxification is so mysterious. There's a lot of information out there, but yet there are so many people going about it in ways that end up being more harmful than helpful. Have you noticed any sort of some of the mistakes people are making when it comes to detox?
I think that there's just a ton of detoxification products on the market, and people have this a naive notion that buying one of those those products and taking that is going to do the job. We don't have a clue as to how toxic we are and how the toxins just keep coming at us. So, you know, the process of cleansing our body has to be slow, steady, consistent, persistent. Never give up. It's like that turtle versus the hare story. You know, the hare goes charging out really fast, and then he burns out before he gets to the end, but the turtle just plods along all the time, and the turtle wins the race. So one of the things people are doing today is they've been tested for having mercury in their body, and they're trying to get the mercury out. I think it's very, very important not to start using chelation therapies like EDTA or suppositories that contain, you know, that start the cleansing process until the detoxification pathways are open. That's, you know, we have a principle, the principle of step by step. This is a perfect example of how that principle works. So it's first things first, and you've got to get your detoxification pathways open first. So that means you got to get your liver excreting bile, and that's one of the reasons I brought the Livermend into our line, because I understand how very, very important it is to increase bile flow so those toxins can come out. Bile then stimulates the peristaltic movement so that the colon starts to eliminate better. We also, I'm a very big believer, as people will soon see, in colon therapy. Home enemas and going to a professional colon therapist at times, I feel like that's, they're just essential therapies right now when we're so toxic. And so if you take, like, for example, there's suppositories that are being used to clear mercury from the body, but if you if your detoxification pathways are stuck, and let's say you're not eliminating, you're not going to the bathroom and having a healthy bowel movement, or you very often need to go for a colonic or home enema, if that chelation agent just kind of mobilizes a lot of toxins into the bloodstream, but they don't come out of the body, they just get reabsorbed again back into another place or the same places, and you've got this vicious cycle that goes on and on and on. So we want to kind of constantly bring that subject up as we move along in our training. And then we didn't really talk about emotional cleansing, but, you know, we have a lot of negative emotions stored inside of us, and guilt is one that I see all the time, every day, because in our work with autism, I can see the pain in our parents' faces and how hard they try. You know, they have so much guilt, and they sort of say, oh, my God, what have I done to my child, when they see these test results coming back with all these toxins. And there are just hundreds and hundreds of parents that would love to go back to start all over again and do it right. They wish they could go back and start again because they love their child so much. And so this is a negative emotion. They feel so guilty, but they shouldn't feel guilty. All of us right now are going through this time together, and we've made this mistake, and it's a bad mistake, but we are going to be given lots and lots of solutions, even solutions that haven't even shown up yet. I've got a bunch to share, and there's a lot more coming that I don't know about or nobody knows about, but one of the things I think is so very, very critical is the, if you don't mind me throwing in my own spiritual perspective of what's happening, is that, you know, our souls, we come here and we come into these physical bodies to train and hopefully grow stronger and stronger. And we leave wiser and stronger as souls. And, of course, it takes courage to go through life, and somebody that, you know, doesn't want to address their angry or guilty feelings or the feelings of sadness, they might escape into drugs, for example. But we have to have courage to live in this world, to grow stronger, to get through these challenges and difficulties that are in front of us. And there's going to come a time when we have to leave our bodies behind, but the lessons that we learn, we take these lessons with us. So right now, for a long time, we will be learning how precious it is to have a clean, pure planet, and how important it is to keep our air clean, and the effect that the toxins are having on the water and the oceans and the streams. And we're going to start to feel like we need to begin to tune in with nature and live closer to nature and follow nature's way, respect her ways. So ultimately, if you look at it from that perspective, our souls are really going to be better for this, for what we're going through. And here's the bright side. When we begin to see the mistake, when we sort of have a heart of true, sincere apology, these solutions just kind of magically appear out of nowhere. That's why I know they're coming, because I see the sense of apology. I work very closely with many, many parents whose children have autism, and I know many of them are listening have joined our workshop here because they're so concerned about this problem. But there are going to be solutions coming down this pike, and we will find ways to clean up our water and clean up our air. And it all turns. It turns on the apology. It turns on when we realize, we start to reflect and make sincere changes in our life. So almost as a homework, what I would love for people to do for this week until the next time work together, if they can sort of reflect on this very thing that I'm talking about, like what mistakes have we made and what can we begin to do to show we're sincerely sorry? Can we throw out some of those chemicals under our sink and not buy the detergent that has, you know, the chemicals in it, go find the healthier ones at the health food store? Can we not buy milk that has hormones and antibiotics in it? You know, just start making little bitty steps. Take those reusable bags to the store. You've got all these stores today because, you know, of Earth Day, selling these great strong bags that you can start taking into the grocery store. Don't use plastic bags anymore. Don't even use paper bags. Use the bags that you can use over and over again. Just make little baby steps this week and show that you really are sorry and watch and see the miracles that start to happen. It's just going to be really exciting to live through this time, even though it's a difficult time. It's an exciting time.
I love that you said that, Donna, because one of our class participants had a question asking, what is the best way to protect our families, the environment, and encourage our public leaders to implement plans to phase out toxic resources in our food, water, and air? And you really just gave us a solution right here in this homework, is to first of all to become very aware, and instead of carrying guilt about it, to just be apologetic and to start moving forward in a different way, to respect nature and to come back to nature's ways. And that's when the conversations can start happening, when we can go out and articulately express ourselves to our public leaders. And you talked about making different choices about products being brought into the home and things like that, and I think that's so important. I appreciate you bringing that to light, and I know we're going to talk more about these things as we go forward.
Well, I've always been a huge believer that the power is in the people, and that's where I've always done my work. Things that I've introduced into the U.S., stevia, coconut oil, and, you know, fermented foods, you know, I've just gone right to the people and tried to teach and share with people the importance and how to use them, and then have people go to the store and basically vote with their dollar. I don't want this junky, dangerous stuff anymore. I don't want them for myself. I don't want them for my children. I'm buying this. I'm paying a little bit more for it, but... And guess what? When you do that, it's amazing. The money will show up for that, too. So we have to support the companies that are bringing these cleaner, better products to the planet. And it's going to be fine. It really is. And we're going to learn a great lesson, and we're going to move forward, and we're going to live in a better world, and our children are going to be better off for it.
Thank you, Donna. And I want to thank all of you for joining us on this class.